Welcome to Wednesday Night at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us.
Well, normally Wednesday night we do a Bible study. We've been going through Peter, and we'll continue that next time we meet. But we took a little pause last week. We looked at Joseph, who is a godly man. And tonight we're going to look at Mary, who's a godly woman. And so I need you to kind of set aside everything you think you know about a wedding and how that operates. Because as we go back into Scripture, and as we get to this place with Mary, it would probably be on a Wednesday. That's when the parents got together and drew up betrothal contracts. They met. They stated that in a reasonable period of time, the parties involved would be married. It might take a year or two for the dowry to be paid. And this was the only legal ceremony in the marriage. This is it. Parents, financial preliminaries are settled. The families and the witnesses arranged it all. Be kind of nice if it was still that way. Then the vows and the blessings were given. These were so binding that if something were to go wrong between the betrothal and the consummation of the marriage of the man and the woman, it would take a bill of divorce for the parties to go on. When the time was come, when the agreed upon period, when the dowry had been paid, the wedding, that was it. Not like today. And so in the story, as we read it, this has already been done between Joe's parents and Mary's parents. They have already met. They've already made a contract. They've already agreed on the dowry. They've already agreed on a time schedule. They've already said vows. They've already signed the documents. It's all been done. They're just waiting for the moment. And then God steps in and kind of unsettles things and changes things. And so we're going to look at specifically Mary tonight, and it begins with an amazing announcement. An amazing announcement. Luke tells us the story of Mary. Mainly Luke does that because Luke was written specifically to women and children. He writes to those things that matter to them. And so it begins with verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, God sent the angel of Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary, and she was engaged to be married. Remember, we use the term engagement, but betrothed would be a better word here in reality, but we don't use that word anymore. I don't know about you. Anytime I think about betrothed, I think of something cows eat out of. I don't know. But, you know, she was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. So you have lineage laid out for us here. Mary, you know, Elizabeth's cousin there, high priest, Joseph, David, lineage matters. Verse 28, Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." That's good news. Confused and disturbed. I don't know, but I really relate to that. That's what I would be, you know, she tried to think, what do you mean by that? "Don't be afraid, Mary," angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus." That's favor? Yeah. What an announcement. It defies logic. It doesn't make sense. It goes beyond the laws of nature. Science can't explain it. Biology can't explain it. It's a miracle, and there's no explanation for it. But in reality, isn't all of life a miracle? Every baby born is a miracle. all of creation is a miracle. Man created out of dust, that's kind of a miracle. And we look at the common, everyday things in our lives, and we tend to forget what a miracle is. We tend to make a miracle something that, you know, somebody is dead and comes back to life, and that is a miracle. But something that's really way out there that cannot, you know, it's just, wow, it's incredible. But yet in reality, I think you and I, if we would open our eyes, we'd see miracles more often because I think they're around us more than we realize. They're there. We have just redefined miracle. We have just put it into a different category. But in reality, we look at the common everyday things in our lives and tend to forget the miracle in them. And so God comes in, gives her this announcement, and tells her, Mary, because God's favor is on you, this is what's going to happen. How would you react? Or what would you want if an angel came to you and said, you found favor with God? You'd go, oh, good. New car? New house? More money? You know? Something really great, spectacular? And yet, here she is going through all of this, dealing with this, and the announcement is, you're going to conceive, you're going to have a son, and you're going to name him Jesus. Incredible. Just mind-blowing. You see, I think there's sometimes that God asks us to do stuff, and I want you to follow this thought with me through all of this, that when the announcement comes of what God wants to do, we kind of stagger at it. In fact, the Bible in some places says they didn't stagger at the promises. To come to that place where we recognize this amazing announcement that just comes to this common, ordinary girl. But the announcement, that's big. That's the miracle. But that's not all of the story, because the second part of it is there's an amazing assignment. And this is really where it gets interesting. The angel comes. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to conceive. You're going to give birth to a son. You're going to name him Jesus. And here's what's going to happen. He'll be great, and he'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever, and his kingdom will never end. And Mary asked the angel, how can this happen? I'm a virgin. Now, that's a legitimate question, don't you think? Sure. And the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. Okay, but how should this happen? Right? Are you okay with that explanation of it? I mean, okay, you've just confused the issue, if anything, right? You've just made everything more confusing to me. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she's conceived a son and is now in her 6th month. Now, Mary's shocked again. She knows her. She knows how old she is. For the word of God will never fail. Why would God give the assignment to her? Why not a more mature woman? Mary's probably still a teenager. Why not someone who had maybe proven themselves a little bit more? She's going to house the Son of God. There's this issue of borrowing again. Remember last week we talked about Joseph and how God needed to borrow a dad for a while? That Jesus used a lot of borrowed things. He borrowed a tomb, borrowed a donkey, borrowed an upper room. He borrowed a boy's lunch. He just was always, now he's going to borrow her. And this assignment is, here's what I want you to do. I want you to understand you're going to have a child. His child's going to be holy. God's going to do all of this. And will you accept that? You know, it's kind of a Mission Impossible type assignment. Your assignment, should you accept it, is, and here it is. And she's still there asking questions, you know, wanting to know more things. And God says, I'm going to use you. You know, my question not only is how can this happen, but why me? Why would God use me? And yet, as you read the Bible, isn't it incredible the people God chooses to use? He never chooses to use the people that you and I would think are qualified. In fact, it just seems like he always chooses the wrong people. I mean, he goes to Abraham and he says, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. And Abraham is old and he doesn't have any kids. I think you got the wrong guy. You need somebody younger. I'm married to an old woman. I'm old. There's no kids here. Nothing's happening. Me? Father? Wow. And then he goes to Moses. And he says, Moses, I want you to lead this new nation I'm birthing that's going to become a great nation. And here's Moses, who is not wanted by any one of the nations he grew up in, Egypt or Israel. He's a rebel from both of them. And on top of that, his argument is legit. I don't talk very well. I don't know how to speak. You know, you probably got the wrong guy here. You do know that 40 years ago I killed somebody, don't you? You do know that both of them are out to get me. No, it's you. And then he chooses Samson to be the judge of a nation. And if there's anybody who was undisciplined and sensual, it was Samson. And yet God says, I'm going to use you to help come against the Philistines, and you'll kill a lot of them, and you'll help deliver Israel. And Samson just messed it up time and time and time again. And yet at the very end, here he is still being used by God. And then there's David. David, I want you to be the king of a nation. Now, think about it. David's the guy that when the candidates are all lined up to see who's going to be the next king, he's not even invited to the lineup. He's not there. And the prophet goes down the line and says, is this it? That's all you got? Well, we got one little runt out in the field. He's taking care of the sheep. He's the only one left. We didn't even bring him in. Didn't think of any use to it. Didn't think he'd be the one. And yet the prophet sees him and, yeah, that's the one. And then there's John the Baptist. What a weird guy. I mean, he lives out in the wilderness, eats weird food, dresses weird. And he says, I'm going to use you to be the guy who announces the coming of the Messiah and who introduces me. Me? And then he's calling disciples and he chooses this guy called Matthew, who is a despised tax collector. You see, the tax collectors were hated because they always took a cut of what they collected. And so the Romans didn't care. As long as they got their cut, Matthew could then charge whatever he wanted to get his cut. And people hated tax collectors. And Jesus, you know, Matthew's collecting taxes, doing his dirty deals. And Jesus says, why don't you come follow me? Really, him? You'd want somebody like that? And then he takes out of this 12, he takes this guy called Peter, who is one of the most unstable people in the Bible, always shooting off at the mouth, Always saying, no, God, you can't. I mean, he corrected Jesus. You're not going to do that, Lord. Peter, get behind me, Satan. I'll never deny you. I don't care what anybody else does. I'm your man. It didn't work out real well. And Peter, I'm going to use you, and on your confession, I'll build my church. And then there's Paul, a trained assassin. Okay? I mean, he was the guy who would go and give me a name, I'll eliminate him. And God says, I think I'll use you to invite the Gentiles in. And all throughout Scripture, you look at the people that God chooses. And to be honest, if you and I were choosing, we wouldn't choose them. Would we? You know, and here he chooses her. I want you to do this. Now, the great thing about that is this. If he can use those people, I guess he can use people like us. You see, we always think we got to be really qualified, don't we? We always think we got to have it all together, that we got to know everything and be everything in order and have everything in place. And if I get my act together and if I do everything right and if I become the good be a good person for a little while, then maybe God can use me. But God doesn't work that way. It's the old line, you've probably heard me say it before. He doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. He says, if you'll use me, I'll take care of you. 1 Corinthians 1:26. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes, or powerful, or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose things that the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they're wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. And God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. And as a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. So here's this girl. The angel comes and makes this incredible announcement of, here's what's going to happen. Like you or I, she's probably a little confused and disturbed, mouth open, what? Here's your assignment. Here's what I want you to do. Here's what's going to happen. And then there's an amazing acceptance. We go through all of that. The angel doesn't give her much information other than God will do this. He doesn't fail. And notice the verse. It's just a great verse. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And the angel left her. Now, I don't know about you, but before that angel left, I'd kind of want a contract on this deal. I mean, after all, now she's got to go to her parents. Dad, Mom, I know we've already done this and signed this and said this, but an angel appeared to me and told me I'm going to be pregnant with the Son of God. If your kids came to you, then we got to go to Joe's parents. We got to tell them. Family rejection on both sides. Public rejection. What's everyone going to think? Because everybody's going to know. Because we know last week, Joseph was thinking about, how can I do this privately? How can I do this without everybody catching on? You know, the loss of Joseph. Understand that the only livelihood of a woman in these times was the husband. This was her life. And in all probability, once this is through, another man would never have her because, after all, she's damaged goods. The loss of her life, because the penalty for this is to be stoned to death because you've broken the contract. You've made an agreement. You've now broken that. And so all she says is, okay, whatever you want, I pray it all comes true. I'm the Lord's servant. I would have more questions, wouldn't you? I'd want a little more proof, right? I'd want a guarantee. And she jeopardized everything by saying yes. All because of one thing. She believed God. Do you say it? I believe it. Here it is, okay? God chose Mary, but never forget that Mary had to choose God. Both happened. God came to her. Here's what I want to do. Will you do it? You know, just incredible. The story, the people, you know, there's so many things you'd like to know. How did this go down? How did this happen? How did everybody handle this? Wow, just incredible for all things. But let me kind of make a little application for us tonight before we go. How many times in your life has God asked you to do something and you've started making excuses? Well, I can't, I'm busy. Well, I don't feel qualified. Well, you know, don't you? Hello? Okay, just want to make sure. Because you know what? God has come to us and said, I'd like to use you here. Right? With all of us. And God's still choosing people who don't seem to be qualified. God still wants to use people who don't have their act together. God still wants to use people who aren't perfect. Thank goodness. You know, God, think of it this way. God wants to do a miracle in your life. He wants to use you in a way that you can't imagine, which would be miraculous, wouldn't it? It's probably not the kind of miracle you're thinking of, kind of not the miracle you want sometimes. But you see, that's how God still works. In fact, let me even bring it closer to us. There's been an amazing announcement given to us. Because before Jesus left, he says, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit to be alive in you. Can I borrow you for it? God is with us. But here's the miracle. God is also in us. That's a miracle. How does that work? I don't know. What does that feel like? I don't get it. And so Jesus makes this announcement. After I leave, the Holy Spirit's going to come. And he's going to live in you. And he wants to work in you. And your assignment is, I want him to have such an effect in your life that as he grows in you, you begin to produce fruit. Because of his life that's in your life. And he wants you to be available and he will work with you so that you can be used to witness for me. I'm choosing you for this assignment. Because that's what he did, right? That's what he gave to us. That's what he promised to us. And so here he comes and he says, look, you know, you think Mary's something. Wait till you think, see what I've got for you. I want God to live in you just like God lived in her. I want you to be used by me. So it all boils down to, for us, the acceptance, doesn't it? God chose us, well, we choose him. But you see, we're not like Mary. Well, whatever you say, good, I'm in. We say, well, you know, I don't understand this Holy Spirit thing. How does it work? I'm not sure I agree with that. I'm not sure I want that. I'm not sure, you know, people will understand that. I can't wrap my hands around it. I can't put it in a thing that I can comprehend. I can't control it like I want to. And we begin to go through our whole litany of questions and doubts and fears and, you know, all those things we just go through because we just don't get it. Rather than just saying, God, okay, I don't understand all of this, but I'm your servant. And whatever you say, I'm in. How many people push away the Spirit because they're just afraid? They don't understand? You know? God, I really want a miracle. Just don't make it weird. God, I'd like a miracle, but could you explain it to me a little bit more? So here's the deal. Will we let God be birthed in us? Because that's what he wants to happen. And here's the question. God chose you. Will you choose God? And here's a girl, a godly woman, who was given this incredible announcement. Just as incredible as what we've been given. Who was given an assignment. Here's what I want you to do. And who just accepted it on the moment. Face value, not fully comprehending what was going to happen. And God still works that way today in us, doesn't he? And we look at that and marvel at it, but God is still working, choosing people who you think aren't qualified. But because he's alive in you, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. And the angel put it this way when he said, the word of God will never fail. So you and I have to be willing to accept our role as well in life of what God wants to do in us. I never feel adequate. Never do. But it's not about me, is it? It's about God, right? It's just a matter of me being willing to say yes. God, whatever you want, I'll do it. I got a lot of questions, God. I'd really like to have some answers, and the only answer I ever get is there's this word called faith that you keep living with. And so as we look at Mary, we can also look at us, because God wants to birth in you his presence so that his presence can be visible to the world today that we live in. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Will you say yes?
Thank you for joining us for tonight's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. We also gather on Sunday mornings at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next time for Wednesday night at Faith Assembly. Faith Assembly's Wednesday night is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.